good. We can relax. We have the game up. There are high spirits right now on Jell. That's good. Getting ready to start this thing out. Isaiah Stevens is leading the huddle there. Going up against number, are they 20th right now? San Diego State's 20th, aren't they? It's going to be a battle. Isaiah Stevens, Jalen Lake, John Tanjay, Isaiah Rivera, and Patrick Cartier getting the start for the Rams. Do they keep it close in the first half here? Think they'll keep this thing close. Are we on schedule this time? Because we're not watching it online. So I think, what are they doing right now? I see Dutcher. Dutcher. Brian Dutcher.
Yeah, that guy.
I always call him Dutcher, but he's a great coach, but I've always mixed up his name, Dutcher and Dutcher, because I knew a guy, same spelling, went by Dutcher.
There's Nico. I see him.
Okay, he's fist bumping.
Fist bump. That was not a great fist bump.
He's getting ready to drink his water.
Oh, good, solid follow-up there. Another one.
Good fist bump.
Drinking
water. Oh, cheerleaders. Are we good? Or am I ahead of you?
No, we're good.
Okay, cheerleaders. More cheerleaders. Here we go.
I see a player. Two players. Is that Isaiah?
That's Isaiah Rivera. That's Jalen Lake.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah,
there we
go.
Watching CU, though.
Yeah, let's go, huh?
I have CU on StatCast.
Okay, you keep me updated there.
They have not started yet.
Jump ball. Here we go. Opening tip. The Rams win the tip.
It's over.
Shut her down.
Stop the count.
Shut her down. I got the stupid... I have the captioning stuff up, so I can't see the top of the screen. And I don't know how to take that off.
Well, I can't see the bottom of the screen.
So. Well, so we'll keep each other posted on what happens.
You tell me the score, I'll tell you what's going on up top.
Tell me up top, man. Let's get a quick two here. Patrick Cartier, do a little spin move.
Oh, no.
That's got to be a foul. That's two. 2-0. Now shut her down. 2-0. Patrick Cartier. That's what you like to see, man, is him getting the job done there. I have the game cast pulled up. Cartier just scored two, and it says 3-0 Rams. What are you guys doing over there?
What's happening?
I don't understand it.
Usually trust the four-letter network for these kind of things.
Oh, maybe they're ahead of me. If the Rams get... Nope, they just took away a point. Okay, so now we're cleared up here.
Come on, interns.
This would be a heck of a thing, man, if they can find a way to do this. Just an amazing deal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We're going to try play-by-play on this.
Oh, no, that was awful yesterday.
People hated that, man.
I mean, we're on the same sync now, but we can only see half of the other screen.
Well, I don't know San Diego State players as much as I should to be able to just say, oh, and so has the ball.
Well, CSU's wearing green today, so it's different.
That is different.
My eyes have to adjust to it.
Tanjay's going to the free throw line. Got a chance to go up 4-0 here. I mean, that's a big deal. He did it. He made one. So far, off to a pretty good start. Talking about NFL free agency, man, looks like the Rams maybe are thinking about dealing Matt Stafford. It's amazing how a year removed from winning a Super Bowl, and they're ready to just change everything up.
Well, I mean, we all kind of fell in love with the story of Matt Stafford. You know, oh, he was in Detroit forever. He was just doing good things there, and they could never win. Goes to L.A., has a big, shiny new team, new stadium. They win the Super Bowl. Everything's great. And he hurt his elbow and never saw him again.
Yeah, the elbow injury and everything. I mean, it just kind of goes to show you how hard it is to win a Super Bowl and then to maintain a Super Bowl team. It's why I think that, you know, the Patriots should be given so much credit because of what they were able to do for so long. And year after year, not giving up too many crazy contracts, making sure they got their quarterback set, they continued to be relevant. Even in years they weren't winning the Super Bowl, they were still going to the playoffs on a regular basis. So it's tough to do it, man. You saw the Broncos, of course, after their Super Bowl 50, all hell broke loose, and it just kept getting worse from that point on. But there's been a lot of stuff going on in free agency so far. The question I have is, I'm hearing this name come up, and I mentioned this a month ago. I think people just rolled their eyes when I said it, but is Orlando Brown Jr. a realistic possibility for the Nuggets, or for the Nuggets, Freudian slip, for the Broncos? I mean, You got to look at that name. Mike McGlinchey's there. Juwan Taylor's out there. I wonder if the Broncos can get aggressive enough and make enough room with the with their salary cap to go get a guy like that. That's a game changer, dude. Because you could get Garrett Bowles and Orlando Brown, bookend your offensive line. I think you'd be in business. Then you look at some of the big, the top names. Orlando Brown Jr. is the number one name. Hargrave's a big name at D-tackle, but I don't think the Broncos are going to spend a lot of money when it comes to the defensive side, according to what our boy Zach Stevens told us from DNVR. So I don't expect any kind of big move on a defensive guy. Offensively, though, Dalton Schultz is available at tight end. I just see, listen, one name, one big name. They're going to go for one big name, and hopefully that's an offensive lineman. But Draymond Jones is actually in the top 10 of, as far as best free agent availabilities right now. Draymond Jones is up there in the top 10. And then now you're seeing all the franchise tags take place. Barkley got franchise tag. Jacobs got franchise tag. Those were two names we were talking about potentially making some sense for the Broncos. Now you're looking at guys like maybe Miles Sanders for Denver. That's a target there. And then what's going to happen here with Derrick Henry? I mean, are we hearing much more on that with Derrick? Like, or was that just a feel-out process by the Titans to go, what if we were to trade him? What would you be willing to give us? Because even at the age of 29, I think a team's going to take their chances with him. That he could still produce for the next 2 to 3 years. Does he have 2 to 3 years left at the age of 29? That's the big question. Because again, 30 was always the age where it's like, yeah, good luck. Once you get past 30, that productivity just goes way down.
I've heard the narrative about the tread on Derrick Henry's tires for a long time, and he continues to surprise me.
I mean, he didn't look. Did he? He got banged up a little last year, right?
Yeah, he had the foot injury. He was out for a little while.
Okay, but he still looked like. You just give him the ball. He just looks the part still. He's lost that much of a step.
Like him coming out of college, there was concerns about his workload because he would average like close to 40. Last couple games at Bama, he had like 40 carries a game. And people were worried back then.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh, he's gonna be gone in 5 years.
Yeah.
And you know, credit to him for taking care of himself. And you know, I think his running style is just, he's such a massive person that defenders have to approach him differently. It's not, oh, I'm going to just dive at his legs because his legs are tree trunks.
Right.
And you don't want to get the stiff arm of death into the turf.
You don't want to try to tackle that guy. I mean, he's just so tough. I've been going back on this a lot lately, Angel, because you asked me at first, like, would you trade a third rounder, maybe a player for him? And at first I was like, yeah, because I love Derrick Henry. But then I kind of backed away from that. But the idea of Derrick Henry, dude, he's going to make Russell Wilson's job so much easier. If the Titans were serious about this, but the problem is you can't really trade a good asset to them because they're not going to take big contracts. So the Titans aren't going to take Cortland Sutton's contract, if that's the name that keeps getting thrown out. They're going to take a young guy on his rookie deal. Like, they're more apt to take a Jerry Jeudy, but they'll likely have to figure out if they want to extend him or not.
I think Patrick Surtain fits that. Somebody that still has 2 years on a rookie deal.
There's just no way I'd do that. I'm taking my chances with Javonte Williams instead. And hope whenever he's going to come back, we'll see. But Patrick Surtain, to me, is untouchable. Justin Simmons is pretty close to that, but Surtain, to me, is an all-timer. He is going to be a Champ Bailey type guy. I really believe that. I mean, he's already 2 years in. He's one of the best corners in the game. And with hopefully with what Sean Payton is constructing, and well, Vance Joseph, can you get the best out of him? Can you put him in even more positions to make plays? Because we all know Surtain's going to shut down a receiver, But now, can he make plays? You know, it's something. You look at corners. There's just different types of corners in our time, man. There's guys that can shut down a wide receiver no matter what, put them on an island, and they're not even throwing there. Then there's other guys like Deion Sanders. He would bait you into throwing picks. And I wonder if Vance Joseph maybe can try to figure out different lineups and ways to get him involved where he is more, he's in better positions to get interceptions, to make big plays. Because right now he is saying, we're saying, hey, go up against their number one. That's you out there. We'll deal with the rest. And that's all well and good. But even the better corners could do that. But also Champ Bailey could bait you to the point where you think he's open for a split second, and then that split second he closes on you and made a play. That's where I want to see Patrick Surtain's growth. And that's tough to do. Being a great corner is one thing. Being a great corner that can get several interceptions a season, 7 to 10 interceptions a season, that's different territory. That's obvious Hall of Fame territory.
Yeah, and I think you could help yourself with that with the front seven, with your pass rush. If you can force quarterbacks to make early decisions or tip passes or just get in their head that, okay, these guys are rushing me every single play, I got to get the ball out, then you have to force them to throw to their number one guy and force Patrick Surtain to earn his keep, I guess.
Well, and that's why I've always liked this. I've always talked about, and it's easier said than done, Angel, but I've always talked about if I were ever building a defense and I could spend money on the defense, I'm talking four pillars. It's two stud corners, two stud pass rushers. Everybody else is C, B players, whatever. But if I get an effective outside pass rush and I can get two corners that can lock down, then I force a quarterback to make a decision a lot of times. Am I going to go to Surtain or am I going to go to this guy? When the Broncos won their Super Bowl, it was Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. And you had DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. You had your four pillars, and it was so lethal. That's why they had so many turnovers all the time. Because not only did you get a pass rush that forces a quarterback to make a decision much quicker than he wants to, you have the corners that can both shut down when they need to, but they can play those effective zones and intercept those passing routes, jumping in the middle on those zones. So, and I know Denver's not going to put a lot of emphasis on the defensive side of the ball, but I would like to see them, you know, can Randy Gregory be a big-time pass rusher for this team? He was hurt so much of the year. Can you get a, you know, one of these outside linebackers, because assuming they're still going to play a 3-4, you know, can you get a Baron Browning to take a big step forward? That's going to be a big question there. 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, 16 minutes to go in the Buffs-Bruins game. CU's up 10-5, and the Rams are up, what is that? They just went away from it. They just went away from it, Anja. 15-11. The Rams are up 15-11. So far, so good. Dreams are coming true today on this Thursday, 19 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll help you with that air conditioner that you're going to need to be thinking about in the next couple of months, or check out the heater after a very cold winter. Duct cleaning. They are an HVAC contractor here in Greeley. Free estimates are available, again, at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. You can call them 970-567-0798. Again, that's 970-567-0798. Colorado State's up 15-13 with 11:49 in the first. The Colorado Buffaloes are up 10-7 over UCLA with just under 15 minutes to go in the first half as well. Good starts. Good starts. It's where you got to go with this thing, man. We'll see if they can hang on here in the first half, but I'm liking what I'm seeing here. I thought if the Rams could just keep this thing somewhat interesting, somewhat close, then in the first half, then who knows? You go strike here. How about John Tonje? 11 of the Rams' 15 points. I mean, we said he was going to have to be special, but somebody else is going to help out too. He's rolling. 11 points. Getting to the free throw line, hitting his threes. I mean, he's doing a little bit of everything right now as Colorado State leading 15-13 over San Diego State. We had a media timeout. There's a lot of media timeouts. Just a lot of timeouts, man.
Yeah, watch it. I got CSU on the big screen and then CU on the little screen here. They're up 10-7 with about 14-16 to play. Buffs looking pretty solid so far. They're hanging with UCLA right now.
Who's tearing it up for them? Nobody's really tearing it up. Not like CSU. It's just kind of balanced right now.
Gosh, this Campbell kid's been at UCLA for years, it feels like.
Oh, yeah. He's like Timmy territory, man. Feels like he's been there forever. This is what we kind of talked about, though, with UCLA and San Diego State. Maybe they come in, you know, not as eager to win this thing because they've already locked up their trips to the dance. I mean, if you ask a player, what would you rather have? A trip to March Madness with no chance to do anything, or you win your conference tournament? If you had to pick, or no, because those would be one and the same. But what's more important? They'd tell you both, because if you win the conference tournament, you're going in anyway. So that's a weird question. But what's better? I would imagine a trip to March Madness is bigger than this, is much more important than this tournament.
Yeah, and I think winning your regular season conference championship is, I think that also has a factor for it, because I couldn't tell you that Alabama's really looking to win the SEC tournament this weekend.
Yeah, you win your regular season if you're one of those monster conferences. If you win your regular season championship or whatever, and like you're getting an at-large bid.
For them, you'd want to keep your one seed. I doubt it would change if they just lost in their first game in the tournament, but it's a question for all these teams. How do you approach the conference tournament? For some, like UNC or CSU, we're the lower seed. We got to play who we play and see what happens. Or it's a UCLA, San Diego State. It's, all right, we draw these, you know, eight seeds, but, you know, maybe we can handle them. Maybe we sleepwalk a little bit and they get challenged. And maybe it wakes them up, say, oh, we got to focus and get ready for the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends. Because, like, again, last year talking about our point with Kevin to start the show from the Colorado, and like, CSU had already punched their ticket last year. So I think everyone was saying, okay, just go win one tournament game just to make sure if there's any doubt, we can erase that. But outside of that, you're playing with house money. Just get ready for the tournament. That's what it's all about. That's what we're looking forward to. So that is on their side right now. And the Rams get another quick bucket there. Patrick Cartier. He's adding to the... Isaiah hasn't scored yet. The Rams are up 18-15 with 10:46 to go. And there's a three by San Diego State. Missed it, though. Man, they got their own rebound. You got to get the boards. You got to rebound, Angel. Can't give up those second chances. It's going to kill you against a team like San Diego State.
Well, if I was tall enough, I would get all of them.
I think you would. Oh, don't foul them there. Good. That was smart to not go in on that one. San Diego State, are we going to get a... Nope. A little drive there. Another two.
At the buzzer.
At the buzzer, at the shot clock.
Is that the scariest feeling when you go to block somebody and they don't move and you're just fly past them?
Yeah, you look silly.
Oh, coach is going to kill me for this.
Don't leave your feet, man. Don't leave your feet. All right, let's see if Isaiah can get on the board here. Right now, it's the Tanjay show. Patrick Cartier. Ooh, shouldn't have taken that. I'm taking that three. Isaiah's driving down the lane. Perfect pass to Cartier.
No
block
foul.
Shot. No foul call. I didn't get to see the top because the verbiage up there at the top, but no foul call there, huh? Wow.
Kind of interesting watching the game without a score.
Oh, it's 7.
Because I can't see the scoreboard, so it's just... Maybe try that next time you're watching a game. Just cover up the scoreboard.
And see if you can just...
And just see what happens.
Keep
see
track.
If your perception of the game changes.
Mine, I struggle with that, because I can't keep score in my head that well, because I just get too into the game, and then you just kind of forget stuff, and you're like, wait, crap, what score was it again?
Well, it kind of puts you in the mindset of the players, because they're not always looking at the scoreboard.
They're not always looking up there. Just ask J.R. Smith. He's not always looking up at the clock.
Yikes.
And figuring out what...
That's a dated reference.
Yeah. Still terrible, though. What was that? They were down still, and he was dribbling it out. He got the rebound off a free throw, and they were still down.
Yeah, he dribbled it out, and they had like they needed a shot, I think, to win the game. And instead of passing it to LeBron, who was open,
he dribbled it out.
He
and
just
held
dribbled it.
It
out and held it like they had the lead.
Yeah, that is.
And then the famous LeBron, "What are you doing?"
But imagine that if you were LeBron or any player, what are you, dude? You just cost. And wasn't that a playoff game?
I think so. It was either a playoff game or it was a game they needed to win.
I don't like to knock J.R. Smith though, because I've been a really fan, a big fan of what he's doing post NBA career. He's like a college golfer now. He had eligibility because he came straight out of high school to play basketball, so he could go back. And he's like a college golfer now.
How about that?
And he's like a great student and everything. He's killing it, man. It's good for him. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our poll question of the day is, after the loss last night to the Nuggets, or for the Nuggets to the Bulls, does it give you cause? Are you a bit concerned about their chances of getting to the finals? Go vote at thewholeshow.com and what kind of team they can be. Is that Cartier again? The Rams just go up 20-17 with under 9 minutes to go in this game. And then UCLA just took the lead, didn't they? 15-14?
Yeah, but the Buffs are 3 of 6 from long range.
Okay. Yeah, gonna have to get hot here. Wanna stay in this thing. I like the way CSU's playing right now, though. Let's get another board, get Isaiah rolling, and look out. This could get crazy here. He hasn't scored yet, has he? I'd like to see Isaiah get on the board right here. 8:23 left.
We're calling it.
Going away from him, so it's not a great set. Okay, going back over. Jalen Lake's got the ball. Patrick Cartier at the top. Over to, who's that, Moore?
Oh my gosh.
Terrible.
We should go to break after that.
That was a terrible. Yeah, let's get out of here. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Nico Carvacho there. Another great CSU Ram. One of the best. I think he has the record for most rebounds in the Mountain West. He holds the record for that. So, tremendous player there. Nico Medved was just interviewed moments ago, talking about the Rams here on the court, on the sideline there. So, CSU's up. CU and UCLA are tied at 19 apiece. I like it, man. This is good. This is great. All right, so we'll give you an update here in a minute. What is going on with this Houston story? That's crazy to me, Angel.
Yeah, so this had just broke just about a few minutes ago from Adam Schefter. The Houston Texans have been stripped of a fifth-round pick by the NFL and fined $175,000 for what the league believes is a salary cap violation and what Houston believes is an accounting error that dates back to Deshaun Watson's training during COVID. Their statement alleged that the Houston Texans organization supplied they paid for a gym membership at a non-organizational facility.
Why?
Because they didn't report it. It's what they did was fine, but you have to report it according to the CBA.
And that I get that, but why would they buy an individual gym membership for Deshaun Watson?
Why would they buy him hotel rooms for therapy sessions?
So were they covering this whole thing up from the start? Why would you dude, NFL football facilities have the best workout facilities. They're way better than what you're going to get at any private gym or whatever, right?
The Texans believe, this is from Schefter, it gave them no salary cap advantage, and they were simply paying $26,000 for Deshaun Watson to train at a local facility while theirs was closed during COVID.
Okay, while theirs so... How much?
$26,000.
For one person to go train? What's he doing in there? What kind of stuff do they have? Hyperbaric chambers and stuff?
I don't know.
Dark
caves? Whatever they gave to Captain America, I guess. Some super serious.
Pump him full of some stuff in there. Wow. Does that seem fishy to you?
A little bit.
I mean, again, I can see why, since everybody got shut down in COVID, you know, everybody was trying to figure out ways to survive.
Yeah, but if when you're dealing with finances, everything needs to be taken record.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're not showing that, and you have to report everything that you're spending. That's bizarre to me. That's absolutely wild. So what's the punishment then going to be for Houston?
A $175,000 fine from the NFL, and they are losing their current fifth-round pick.
Chump change. Not for a building
not
team.
For a rebuilding
the
team.
The fifth-round pick is what I'd be more concerned with, but the money's not a big deal. Wow. How about that? All right. Colorado State just goes back up 22-20 with 5.5 minutes to go here. And I said this early. Kevin and I were talking about it. If you can stay close here in this first half, you start to have some belief here, dude. This is the best team in the tournament, the best team in the conference. And this is what the Rams can do, man. They can go toe-to-toe with these great teams. It's happened before. Can they keep it going? That's the thing. But with 5 minutes to go, they're right there. San Diego State just missed a three, and the Rams have the ball. So more of that, please. And you haven't even got Isaiah Stevens going in this game. So you got to expect that's coming. Isaiah, I told you so, Rivera goes up, and he's not going to get that. That's a good take, though. Just couldn't finish. How are our Buffs looking on, Gel?
Right now, trailing by 125-24 with about 8 minutes left.
Not bad. Not bad there either. All right. These kind of games, man, if you can make things interesting in the first half, teams start to believe. Start to make believers out of your guys. John Tanjay's been tearing it up. He's got the ball here. Rams are up 22-20. See if Tanjay creates something magical here. Passing it off to, is that Moores, I think? Get Isaiah rolling. Just right now. Do it. Take him. Go. He's going. Boom. There's the shot. Did not make it.
That's basketball.
And that's the sport of basketball, man. You know, I tell you what, if this team can hang in, cover the spread, be close, whatever, that's going to be a big testament to Nico Medved. It has been a tough year for them. Absolutely difficult year. But to beat Fresno State, to come out of this thing where now, okay, you're trying to give yourself a shot against San Diego State, some damn good coaching. Just to get your guys motivated to the point where you believe you can do this. It's easy for these guys to shut her down. Just be done. Hey, Fresno State, we were up 12. We'll just coast it. No, we got to still come up with big plays to win. And then they do that. They're hanging in there against San Diego State. So I really respect that coaching staff. I love a lot of these coaching staffs around here, too. I mean, I'm a big Tad Boyle guy. But for me, it just seems like Nico's crew, they got a great mix of being really great, personable people, but ridiculously knowledgeable about the game of basketball. And that's why I think you see a team like right now fighting to just try to hang in there and see if they can pull off some kind. Tell you what, dude, they beat San Diego State. Then it gets really interesting because then they would face a 4 or 5 seed in Nevada, San Jose State. And then that becomes a little more wide open. Rams up 22-21 with 4 minutes to go. I just got this moments ago, too, Angel. Jeff Linder's dad just passed away. Head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, former coach of the UNC Bears. And that's, of course, why Coach Linder was not available for the Cowboys yesterday in their game against New Mexico. His dad has been very ill for a while now, and he just passed away. So on that note, let's do take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get to what we learned today. What we learned today. We'll do all that stuff. We'll follow along with this game. But thoughts and prayers are with that guy. I'm a big Jeff Linder guy. So thinking about him and his family today, 40 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, man, what did we learn today on this ninth day of March? I learned Angel's not panicking, which if Angel starts to panic, that's when the world should panic. I also learned that, the Joker isn't invincible. He's close, but he is going to have mentally off nights. And I feel like last night was one of those nights. I mean, he was so untouchable all season. He hasn't really had a bad moment. He's had a bad, maybe a moment, but not really a bad stretch. But I learned that maybe he's not invincible, that he's prone to having a bad game mentally once in a while.
Well, every once in a while, the Joker has to go back to Arkham Asylum and
True.
Sit and think about what he's done. And then
Batman gets the best of him once
in
a while.
And then he'll plan his breakout and he'll be back to business.
He'll be back to business against San Antonio. Let's turn the page and get set for that. What'd you learn today?
I learned that it's easy to overreact to sports, but at the end of the day, we should all take a breath. And relax. The season's not over.
Oh, it's all over.
The finals aren't over. Playoffs are not decided yet. The MVP has not been decided yet. We're going to be okay.
Have another stretch of games like that, though.
See, you're putting that out there that, oh, they could have a bad
stretch. Angel, but do you want me to just come on today and say, here's the facts from the game that was. Here's, and then say the rest of the segment go, tomorrow we don't know. Our job is to predict a trajectory of what we see with these guys. When we look at Russell Wilson and some of the weird things that he does on Twitter, our job is to go, is that a good thing going forward or a bad thing? So I guess I get where you're going. You don't want to overreact, and there is a line, but you also can't be the opposite and just look at it and go, it's fine.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, yes, it was concerned. There were moments of the game last night I was concerned, thinking, oh no, this team, they're not going to win this game. I think like 2 minutes left, I turned it off because I knew it was over. But I'm also like, all right, that was a bad game. If it happens two times in a row, then I'll start to worry. But, you know, it's basketball. You're going to have a bad game every once in a while.
But they had a bad game against Toronto. They just had a heck of a 7 minutes.
I don't see that as a bad game. I saw that as a game where this really, really good team struggled a bit, but they found it within themselves to come back and win that game. Last night, that team didn't find it within themselves to win the game.
But that's what I'm saying, is you have a partial game in Toronto where things weren't great. You came back and won. That's a dangerous way to live. You don't want to live that way, where you're putting yourself in a tough spot.
That's
every
just
time
the last two games.
And so based on the last two games, there's cause to be slightly concerned.
Sure.
About this team.
I'm not denying that. I'm not there.
Well, I'm not overwhelmingly concerned here, but yeah, I need the Spurs game to make me feel better. I need that game to be a turnaround game, specifically for the Joker. I want Jamal to get the damn record and be done with that. And then you figure this thing out. They're the best team in the West, but I don't want them to get complacent. I'm with Tanner. I don't like the whole, we're not worried about finishing with the top record in the conference. You should try to finish. You're 7 games up on it. You got a hell of an opportunity to set yourself up for the best absolute position to win a title this year. And part of that is having, I think the best matchup would be great, but having home court advantage. You talked about having the altitude as something that could help you out. That's a big deal. So if I'm alone, yeah, I'm going for that. I want the best record, at least in the West. Because I think that's going to help you in the long run. So I get where you're going. We don't have to panic, and it's not freak out time, but part of our job is to look at this subjectively as, okay, all year, 80, 90% of the year, we've all said all the great things about them. We got to be fair here. It can't just be all puppies and kittens every single day. Today is gloomy because of their performance last night against a bad team compared to them.
I agree.
So
I agree. I agree on all the points. I'm just not at that level of concern.
You're not slightly concerned that the MVP talk is getting into Joker's head?
I can't control what goes into his head.
I'm not asking you to control it. I'm asking you if you're slightly concerned about the narrative that has been going around and if it, you think that it could get to his head for the first time.
Maybe, but it's for the first time. So it's how does if it's in his head and he has a bad game, okay, that's part of it. How do you respond to it? It's how do you respond to that adversity? I don't think this is going to be something that Jokic is saying, I can't play basketball well anymore because this is in my head. I don't. He will find some other way to motivate himself to be good. And if that's just getting back to just play basketball.
I'm just telling you, I've never seen him just settle for three-point shots like that. I've never seen him do that. And that, to me, was that was the most alarming takeaway from last night's game, was Joker just settling for these crazy-looking threes. They weren't even, not even all of them were wide open. Some of them were. Most of the time, I'm begging him to take threes. And last night, it just felt like we're not going to work our offense to try to win a game here. I'm going to settle, step back here, and if I can sink threes, great, we win. If not, whatever. I'm just going to fire it off and see what happens. That's my biggest concern with this team. And yes, I do have a little fear going forward. I said this last week. How will Joker respond now that the MVP talk is ramping up and the narrative is, from some, not all, that you are stat padding, which we know is ridiculous, and now it's a racist thing. Joker has called it out for the first time. We've never seen him do that. The first time ever. And my question last week was, how does he respond to that? Does he respond in a positive way, shut it down, and just keep doing big things? I thought last night might be a Joker takeover game. And yes, if he makes the threes, we're talking about a monster night for him. But instead, but even if he makes the threes, I'm still coming in here going, is that the new plan? is that what we're going to start doing now? Is Joker fire off from deep? Because that's not going to win a lot of basketball games.
No, but I think the whole team was off. Especially, I think, really, in that second half, the whole team was off. And, you know, if we say the team runs through Jokic, if Jokic is off, good chance the entire team is off.
But that's where Malone has to get this thing on track, where you call timeout and say, okay, Joker, I love you. Let's stop with the threes for a little bit here. You don't want to tell shooters to stop shooting. And Joker's not really a shooter, but you still don't want to, you want to be careful with that. But there has to be a time where it's like, hey, Joker, let's work inside. Let's work inside. And maybe that was happening, but when I see a timeout, I want to see some kind of change the next five, six times down. None of that happened. It was still just Joker rolling out, pop it up. So bad game. I'm willing to write that off as a bad game. But make no mistake about it. If the team struggles against San Antonio, it's going to be a panic. There is going to be a little bit of a panic mode here. If they struggle against San Antonio, if they lose to San Antonio, you're not panicking? What is it going to take for you to panic?
If they lose to San Antonio, yes, I will be panicked. Or not like super panicked. Oh my God. I will be concerned and frustrated and, you know, upset that they lost. But in the moment right now, I'm not going to let that, the possibility of that happen until it happens.
But you can't, again, as sports talk,
I need to think like that because it's sports talk and we're trying to have a conversation.
It can't be, well, if they don't win the title, then we can go back and say, well, that's what this is our, right now. We're looking at it going, here's the pitfalls that could be coming up next year. Last year with Nathaniel Hackett, it was all, this is amazing, this is amazing. Although, he's not doing preseason stuff. Could that affect them? Maybe. And then it did, obviously. And then we go back to that and say, yeah, we had that discussion. So, is this Chicago game going to be the end-all, be-all if they don't win the title? If they do win the title, whatever. Do they learn from? Probably not. It's a blip on the radar. But you don't want it to be a string of unfortunate events. And that's where I think there's a little bit of pressure on tomorrow night's game against San Antonio. It's a team you obviously are better than. It's a team you 100% expect to beat, and you have to come out. I'm hoping just with it, because there wasn't energy last night. That just it just wasn't there for me. So there were so many things off about it that it does make you wonder if it was just one of those nights where you're destined to lose, and hopefully that's the case. Because again, these happen. The Chicago Bulls, when they were winning championships, three in a row, there was a string of games where they would have, where you just, not a string of games, but they would have games where you would step back and go, oh, who was that on the floor tonight? Rodman wasn't rebounding. Jordan wasn't his, didn't have his killer instinct going. You didn't see the defense from Scottie Pippen. Phil Jackson, what are you calling out there? You see those things in basketball. You just, if when it becomes a trend, and I would say half of the Toronto game and then the game against Chicago and then you mess up against the Spurs, Spurs have won 16 games. So if they somehow struggle against the Spurs, then you start looking at it as a trend. And then you come back on Monday, Angel, and we figure out where this team sits and what they can ultimately do. Joker has to string together a good stretch here too, because the MVP watch, he's still the front runner in my mind, but that kind of game can be a setback for you, especially when Joel Embiid is doing the things that he's doing on a nightly basis. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Buffs are up 38-7 with 1.5 minutes, with 1 minute, one, what was it, 131? Okay, 131, just refreshed. 131 left. The Rams are down 2 at halftime, 27-25. That's exactly what I wanted to see from Colorado State, was can you keep this thing close at the half? How will they respond to the next first five minutes of the second half? Going to be absolutely crucial for Colorado State. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.